This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton of Turnbuckle Trash. Boy, do we have a great podcast for you today. Not only are we going to talk of WrestleMania with Zane, and also with Ajay, we're going to have a Trashhead Talkback segment with Kelly and also Chris. They give their opinions on what's going on with WrestleMania and the WWE right now. Before we get into what we're going to be talking about today with WrestleMania, I want to remind you there's also going to be a special podcast with the MK Bandit. Now, MK, we met in Salt Lake City, Zane and I did. He works with a lot of independents around the country, Texas, New Mexico, the West Coast, and also in Salt Lake City. And we talked to him about being at WrestleMania itself and WrestleCon. So take the time not only to listen to this podcast, but we'll talk to the MK Bandit on our other podcast. A very interesting look at what happened in Orlando. You will not believe some of the things he tells us about that we did not know as fans were going on in Orlando, Florida. So that'll be in a separate, complete podcast. You'll see a picture. We'll tell you what it is and everything. So thank you for joining us today on this edition, a Mania, WrestleMania edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
Well, NFL has never seen a 52-year-old man compete at the highest level, but the NFL doesn't have an Undertaker. The NBA has never had a guy take off 13 years, maybe a guy who took off a year, Michael Jordan. But never 13 years and come back and still be at the top of his game. But they don't have a Goldberg. Baseball has never seen a villain that can go to any town and be hated so badly. Not Ryan Braun, not Barry Bonds, not Mark McGwire, but the MLB doesn't have a Roman Reigns. WrestleMania 33, Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida was the site. 13 matches, 5 title changes, and a very epic 5-minute violent brawl between Lesnar and Goldberg. WrestleMania came and gone, and it was fun.
It had its highs and lows, but more highs than lows.
Ajay Salveson, that's Dave Denton. Dane Pearson is going to join us in a little bit to talk some WrestleMania. What an event. Citrus Bowl did a great job. A little windy, probably a little bit chilly too, but a great event nonetheless. We're going to hit every single match. We're going to break it down like we, as wrestling fans, can do so well, like Dave and I and Zane. And we hope that we do it to your approval. And by the way, thank you for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. This is what it's about. The culmination, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the World Series, the Daytona 500. This is what WrestleMania is for the wrestling sport. WrestleMania featured the following. A real-life couple winning, not just in the ring, but for life. A legend calling it goodbye. A match between two beasts, which proved to be just that.
They were beasts.
Where they nearly killed each other. A match that fell flat on its face that had all the hype in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of diva matches that were incredibly chaotic, but well done. That's a tease right there, Mr. Denton.
Nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Let's kick it off, shall we?
Let's do it.
WrestleMania 33 started off with the appetizer. Now, when you have an appetizer, are you when you order the appetizer, you're just doing it just to kind of keep yourself busy until the main dish. Am I right, Dave?
Fried pickles.
I mean, you're a
Chili's
guy. I mean, you like
fried
food.
Pickles. Yeah, but yeah, I like fried. It's like fried pickles at Chili's or the chips and salsa. Sometimes you get wings, and then they have a two-hour pregame show. Two hours.
By the way, this event was 7 hours long. There was 2 25-minute matches.
Yeah.
This was a long, I mean, we outdid ourselves here. The appetizer for WrestleMania 33 was
Neville
and Austin. Well, how do you say his last name?
Austin Aries.
Okay, I keep calling him Arius, and I keep getting in trouble by everybody.
Austin Aries, the world's greatest man. That's what he went with when he was in TNA, and he was the founder of what they call Option C, you know, like when they do the Money in the Bank match. TNA used to do something with briefcases too, and he would get the option to maybe, you know, get to the X Division Championship, but he called it Option C because he wanted the World Heavyweight Championship. That's why I say that. But that was a killer opener.
What an appetizer. That had everything in it.
Holy moly.
And by the way, this was for the Cruiserweight Championship. Everyone talks about Aries, and his biggest downfall, they said, is his lack of aerial work. Well, he held toe for toe, step for step, and no pun intended, but jump for jump with Mr. Neville. You had the leap off the top of the rope. You had the German suplex, by the way, he took and landed on his head awkwardly.
Uh-huh.
Looked bad.
Yeah, it did.
And he got up, and then luckily he was okay. There was a missile that was done by
that missile drop kick he did off the top rope. Austin Aries did was incredible.
By the way, that was followed by. These turnbuckle ropes, by the way, this wasn't the only match that had its aerial show, but this one was probably the best one out of all of them.
I loved it.
Neville ended up winning, taking the Cruiserweight title. That was the first of five WWE Championship rotations on the belt.
Uh-huh.
How awesome. And so tell me about, if you had to grade this match, we're going to grade each match just according to Mr. Denton, A, B, C, D, E, or A, B, C, D, F.
I would give that match an A.
Why?
Storytelling, athletics, the crowd was into it. I thought from beginning to end, one of the highlights of the night for me was Austin Aries and Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. And I think that Cruiserweight 205 program has been struggling on the network, but they need to feature these two guys feuding for a while. And doing that on Raw and then also on 205 Live, and that 205 Live program will get a little bit more popular.
Late in the match, Neville was in serious trouble. He had to break a submission. Then he poked Aries in the same eye that he broke his socket.
Right.
Ow.
Uh-huh.
Mommy, I need help. Call me an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
Turns around, then lands a very well-done, picture-perfect, on-the-button red arrow from the top of the rope, go figure, to get the win.
Well, that's something that Neville hasn't been doing a lot since he turned heel. That was that famous move he did when he was the face before he became injured, and that's impressive. Man, that is an impressive move.
So you give this match, a Cruiserweight Championship, a grade of
A? A. You?
Yeah. I loved it. We're leaping off. I mean, we're leaps and bounds. Again, no pun intended.
Uh-huh.
But for the Cruiserweight Championship to be what it is now, that was supposed to be an appetizer, a pre-match, and they didn't give a crap. They still went out there and put on a heck of a show.
Yeah.
That's what the crowd needed.
Okay, let's switch gears just a little bit. Let's bring in Zane in an interview we did on the telephone. Zane, the pre-show match between Neville and Austin Aries.
Well, I didn't watch much of the pre-show. I'm not a big pre-show guy, because why don't they just call it all WrestleMania and just make it 5 hours long? Dude, it's WrestleMania. Can you honestly complain about WrestleMania? It's my favorite. Dude, everybody like, oh, the Super Bowl, oh, the World Series. For me, it's WrestleMania, dude. That is my... It's like I told my wife, bless my family's heart. But I said, you guys, this is the one time a year that dad gets to watch wrestling all the way through and not get interrupted. So I planted my butt on the couch and I watched WrestleMania all the way through.
So then we move on to one of my favorites, and I love the name of the title of this match, but the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Your winner, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo.
And if you're a New England Patriots fan, you're probably like me. You're probably cringing at the sight of seeing Rob Gronkowski inside the ring.
Now, I haven't watched that one as of yet, so I'm not going to be able to grade that one. I'm going to be watching that this afternoon. Maybe I'll be able to grade it when Zane joins me this afternoon or this evening when we're doing that. But did Gronk just come out of the crowd?
Yeah, he hopped over the barricade and hopped in and decided to jump in and do some wrestling.
It.
And whether he had Bill Belichick's permission or not, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But this guy's just coming off. By the way, he's coming off back surgery in which he was injured in a game against the Seahawks and set out the rest of the season. And he missed the Super Bowl as well. So then he jumps in a wrestling ring, and I know we call it, oh, it's fake. No, I don't care.
No.
He shouldn't be in there in the first place.
Yeah.
Was not thrilled about it, but nonetheless, he helps Mojo Rawley get the biggest win of Rawley's young WWE career.
Yeah, and Gronk is going to be Gronk. Nobody's going to be telling Gronk what to do. But since Mojo is, you know, starting to really get some push after this, he'll get some more push. Does that mean that Gronk might be doing some stuff when he retires?
When we get there, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But let's not talk about Gronk retiring yet.
Okay.
As Patriot fans, we just cannot be talking about Gronk leaving.
Yes, we need him. We deflate. Just deflate everything.
By the way, so there's at the start.
I was only serious. What?
Hey, your Cubs had a great World Series last year. Oh, wait. No, sorry. Not your Cubs. Forgot.
Cardinals won last night.
One of 162. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You guys look well on your way to a World Series title.
We are.
Okay, anyways. So the match, by the way, began with the Big Show and Braun Strowman just staring at each other. And throughout the match, Strowman has a filthy mouth. There was some cussing going on, and at times you could hear what he was saying, and you could tell that WWE was trying to mute his mic.
Yeah.
But, you could easily read the lips of what he was saying. He likes to talk trash. Him and Show kind of went at it. He eliminated Show before his show got eliminated. So, congratulations to Mojo on retaining his mojo.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there?
That's great for him. He has got more energy than just about anybody you can ever imagine. So,
Intercontinental Championship. This was the Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin. Did you watch it?
I saw highlights. I haven't watched the whole thing as of yet, but let me tell you, when it comes to Baron Corbin, Zane and I disagree. I like Baron Corbin. I like the character he's playing, but I'm kind of glad that Dean won.
You know, and it was interesting because for the most part, Corbin dominated that match strategically and physically. And it was interesting that the WWE waited until just minutes before they announced this match as the final match of the kickoff show. It was really interesting how they went about that. I'm not sure why. If there's anything that might have happened behind the scenes that we don't know about. But Ambrose kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And that's one thing we love about Dean is that he's never out of a match. It doesn't matter who it's against. Big win for Dean getting that IC title. And I think for the WWE, they're trying to bring back the importance of the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know how much it's going to take to get it back to that importance again, back like it was in the mid-90s. But I feel like we're getting there again, Dave.
Yeah, we are, yeah. I think all the work that The Miz did when he was having his feud with Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
That elevated a little bit. Then The Miz against Dean Ambrose elevated it some more. Be interesting to see what's going to happen now. Ambrose and who's next? Is it still going to be Corbin? Or is it going to be AJ Styles? Or is AJ Styles? Well, we'll talk more about that in just a second.
That one's an interesting one, too.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
So Ambrose comes back, fights his way back into the match. Corbin tries his finishing move, end of days. Ambrose kicks out of it, turns into Dirty Deeds, gets the pinfall, gets the win.
You know, one thing I've noticed on pay-per-views, the big, big pay-per-views especially, that each performer, each wrestler, I'll say, gets to do their move, and the other guy kicks out of it. It seems like everyone has that happen. But I like it because it shows, you know, that they're really pumped to be in this match and they have to find some other way to win, maybe putting it on a second time. So Dean Ambrose, IC champion. I like that.
That match, by the way, just the build-up to it was average. I feel like the match played out to the same as the build-up. It was average. Wasn't incredibly great. Not a lot of oohs and ahs from the crowd. And I think everyone by the end of that kickoff show was saying, hey, let's get going. Let's get to the main stuff. Yeah. Which, if you ask me, it's a B.
B?
Yeah, I'm giving it a B. Like I said, the build-up was average. The match turned out to be just average. Now, it depends what kind of wrestling fan you are. I think that every wrestling fan is their own. So, yeah, by the way, if you don't agree with our grades, let us know.
Yeah.
Facebook, Turnbuckle Trash, Twitter, Turnbuckle Trash. Hit us up and let us know what you think of these WrestleMania matches.
And remember, we're doing this as fans.
Yeah, we're not actually.
We're not
I'm an expert.
Well, I am too.
This guy, actually, Dave's more an expert than I am. So.
No, we do this as fans. We know what we like, and we want to know what you like. So,
but we are allowed as fans to share our opinion.
Yeah, I'll give that a C plus. I won't get.
Ah, nice. Yeah. I like you downgrading that a little bit. Yeah.
Now it's time to go to school.
You like wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that.
This is unbelievable.
And then we get on to the main app, to the main dish, I should say. One of the matches that stood out was the first match after the kickoff show. AJ Styles, Shane McMahon. Now, it has been said since his debut, which was in January of 2016, that AJ Styles was capable of putting up a 4-star match. Little did we know that it would be with Mr. Shane McMahon. Agree or disagree that AJ Styles was capable of putting up a good match?
AJ Styles is phenomenal for... They call him the phenomenal one for very good reasons. I have seen some of my favorite matches over the past year with AJ Styles.
Styles' comeback is not alone to be just shadowed over by Shane McMahon being at the age of 47.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady wants to play 6 more years of football. Try being age 47 and taking these kind of bumps as Shane McMahon, who, by the way, has no fear when it comes to putting on a good show.
Right.
This match... right now, in my mind, is the leading candidate for match of the year.
Wow, you liked it that much, huh?
I loved it.
Oh, cool.
And I it's not just because usually it's Shane that takes over a great match and puts it on himself. I thought AJ Styles was step for step with him in regards of putting on this good match.
Uh-huh.
Couple of big spots that I felt like maybe stood out to me. I'm just trying to think. There's maybe two or three. The leap off into the announcer's table was awesome.
Uh-huh.
He got air.
Yeah, he does. He
got
gets air.
With that elbow. He got air, and uh-huh. He sometimes I don't know if he lands it correctly. You ever seen someone like leap into a pole and like face belly flop it?
Uh-huh.
I feel like sometimes that's what Shane McMahon's elbow is capable of doing.
He's not in there all the time, so you know that's probably
his elbows look so awkward.
Yeah,
I mean it looks like he's jumping in with his back instead of his elbow. I mean, uh-huh. He needs to watch some film on how to give a correct elbow drop off the top rope. Just saying. The SmackDown commissioner, again, he produced his typical array of leaps off the ropes, but he was also quick on the ground, which was really impressive. His reversal work was really, really good in this match against a really good ground worker, if you will, being AJ Styles. Which really impressed me. What did you see in the match that was impressive to you?
Well, I think one of the most impressive things that Shane does is when he does that coast-to-coast dive when he's on the top rope and he's got the trash can over somebody's body or all the way across the ring, and he does that thing they call it the coast-to-coast. Shane is he's kind of like Mick Foley. He'll do anything. I mean, he will do anything for the match. And let me just say this about the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. When you have a great match like this happen, it takes two performers playing off each other. And AJ can wrestle, he can fight, he can do aerials, and he does what is needed to be done. And I think he can elevate a non-performer all the time like Shane, and let Shane have his highlights and still make that match look really, really good because of the talent of an AJ Styles.
The SmackDown commissioner was two times, he had a very close three count. Is when Styles, I was trying to close out a match again, midair, McMahon catches him and puts a DDT on him. Mm-hmm. Again, was that, I mean, and I'm holding my fingers about an inch from each other, maybe less than that, that close on the two count.
Missed it by that much.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
That's an old sitcom. That's a sitcom thing from Get Smart. Older people will understand. Older people like me.
McMahon misses the moonsault, and of course, Styles lands his forearm to finish it for the win. Great match. I'm giving it an A.
I'll give it a B+.
Ooh. Ooh.
Just because I wasn't thrilled to have the match happening in the first place.
What did you feel about the buildup? That's another thing.
I'll tell you what, when AJ put Shane through that glass in the car on SmackDown, and he got cut, I said, oh, okay. I like that part of it. But
I'm going to ask you, if I said your favorite match of WrestleMania?
AJ Styles and Shane McMahon.
Really?
Really? I thought that was the most entertaining match. It had a good, for being a quick draw match right at the last minute, that had a good lead up to it. It'll set up really good for the future for AJ Styles going over to Raw. So I thought that was pretty well put together for a quick match, and I thought it was extremely, extremely entertaining.
Oh, I would agree.
And to see Shane O'Mac. Dude, Shane O'Mac's got some moves. Did you see him? So he was working the mat. I mean, he was pulling out some jiu-jitsu and some pretty good stuff.
That crowd was into that match from the get-go.
Yeah, and
loved every moment of it.
That's fine. I was just
No. And here's why I say this. Because the aftermatch of that, I feel really – WrestleMania always has that one match where everyone's like, oh, my gosh. And then they see the second match and they're like, hey, want to get some nachos? Yeah, let's go get some nachos right now. Let's go. Yeah, sure. You know, and they're still talking about the previous match. Such as the case was for Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, from friends to frenemies.
You didn't like the match?
That crowd was recovering from that match, and needless to say, so was I.
You know, that happens quite often. And, you know, when somebody goes out and does a great show like AJ – and Shane, they put out a great product. Then the next guy comes in, and the audience is just like,
oh, yeah.
Wore out.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Catch their breath again.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
The match, it did, you know, it did have its worthy moments. Uh-huh. It was physical, very physical. I felt like there were some creative counter moves as well, and not only just from Jericho, but surprisingly from Kevin Owens, who's not, I would say, that very agile of a guy at times. I think he shows his lack or weakness in the ring. But the power bomb to finish off Jericho was killer. I mean, he put him on the ground or on the mat, I should say, really well. It was good, a nice bump taken by Jericho, but it looked like it hurt.
Oh, yeah. I can go back. I can go back to Marty the Moth at Comic-Con when we were talking to him in Salt Lake City. You know, he's from Lucha Underground. And he was talking about some of the moves, and he talked about Rey Mysterio 619, and he got to the microphone and said, the 619 hurts. These moves these guys do, they can get very stiff, and they can hurt. I mean, they find ways not to really hurt each other, but we're not talking that it's just a little slap. You know, it's a bang. You know, They get very, very physical in the matches. That's one of the things I like about wrestling.
Well, Chris Jericho should have took more than one powerbomb. He should have took two more. But he broke both those, countered with a codebreaker, then went for the pin, in which Owens turns around. And I'm telling you, some of these matches come within a finger of a win. Owens had his index finger on the rope, which the ref caught. Yeah. Good eyes by the ref. And broke out of it. And then, as I said, Owens finishes with a powerbomb, a massive one, puts him down for the 1-2-3, wins. United States champion is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, but I got to tell you, just about a week and a half ago, I ordered from a website a Chris Jericho t-shirt. It says, "You stupid idiot." So as soon as I get that in, I'll take a picture and put it onto our Facebook page and stuff. So, yeah, but yeah, KO and Chris Jericho, great setup. The
build-up was awesome. Oh, the build-up was probably one of the best I've seen in any of those WrestleMania matches.
Oh, the Monday Night Raw, the friendship thing in Las Vegas. I laughed until I mean, tears were coming down my eyes. And then, it was just hilarious. So that's a great one for them. I'm going to give that one an A.
I actually will, too. Yeah. I'll give it an A. Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of women's matches, but they weren't quite as prevalent as what they were last year at WrestleMania. Zane?
He went to the bad knee! That's his bad knee! It was his bad knee! Triple H went right for that bad knee!
The hype they put on the women's matches, and then for this year to not put any emphasis on them at all, I was a little bit taken back by that as well. They shoved all of the women on both rosters into great big matches. That's what they did. That was the big gripe before last year, was they used to do just these great big women's tag team matches and not put any emphasis on them. And I was a little bit miffed about that.
The first Divas group match came from Raw.
Yeah.
You had the Raw's Women's Championship. It's a Fatal 4 Women Elimination match. Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Nia Jax all in this match. And to be honest, Jax didn't win, but she stole the show.
Yeah.
I felt like there's multiple creative spots done, whether it was 3-on-2 or 1-on-2 match. I feel like Jax, though, did a great job, and she had a chance to really spotlight her physicality, her ability. She hung on with three other women who were very capable of stealing a match on their own. In the end, though, Bayley wins the Raw's Women Championship.
Yep. She retained it because the three of them...
upon each other.
Yeah, they ganged up on Nia Jax, and I thought that was pretty good. The rest of the match...
By the way, that... that...
I don't know. I couldn't get into that match.
How about Charlotte Flair's corkscrew from the top of the rope?
She's talented.
To land on top of Bayley and
Sasha
Banks. Thank you. What an incredible move. That draw a lot of oohs and ahs.
Yeah.
These women were, and by the way, we'll get to the SmackDown Live group, which might even have been better actually.
Right.
But really impressed with Banks. Loves Charlotte Flair's talent and ability and her willingness to... It's not easy how I say this. It's not easy to jump from the top rope. Everyone thinks, oh, yeah, it's easy. It's not. And especially to pull off a corkscrew onto two girls, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving the match a B.
I would give it a C+. I close to a C just because I thought the end was anticlimactic when Bayley won. I give it kind of a C with Charlotte, attacking her knee. And, that's the theme later, too. Knee. Oh, it's the bad knee. I'm just going to give it a C. I'm going to just an out-and-out C, and it's nothing but the ending I thought was anticlimactic.
There's always one surprise appearance that you get during WrestleMania. There's always that one match that you see. Oh, my gosh, they're here. Such is the case with Sheamus and Cesaro. And?
Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, Enzo Amore, Big Cass. And they were going to do a triple, right?
Yeah.
And then the New Day comes out.
And they have one little announcement. One just tiny surprise. 12th ladder match in WrestleMania history brought this surprise. Dave, give it to me.
The Hardy Boys.
Stop that with that tone of voice.
The Hardy Boys.
You are ungrateful human
being. Team Extreme. I'm not a fan.
Well, the crowd was.
Oh,
that was the loudest pop I had heard all night.
And the match of the night for me. I thought the match was incredible. But I'm just not a big fan. It goes back to what was going on when Matt, the broken Matt. You even heard Michael Cole said, "Oh, no, it's broken Matt." And then that was about the end of any kind of reference to what happened at Impact and also ROH, which the Hardys had the ROH tag title, but they sure dropped it earlier this week to the Young Bucks and actually in the ring bowed down to them at ROH. But the match itself, when you talk about four great tag teams, holy cannolis, put in all kinds of sound effects to stop the
serious
cussing. Holy
cojones.
God, that was good.
Matt and Jeff Hardy showed no rust on their first WWE match since 2009.
Yeah.
That's 8 years of not performing in front of a crowd like this, and they step on the biggest stage of them all and let a rip. The finish was spectacular. You had Matt Hardy with a twist of fate. You had Jeff Hardy on a swanton bomb on the tallest ladder, landing on top of Sheamus, who was prone on a second ladder. No guts, no glory, Dave?
Oh, well, you had Sheamus and Cesaro, and Cesaro took the biggest majority of that bump.
Ugh.
On that one. But I will tell I'll just say this.
Okay.
Honestly, the match of the night, loved it. Loved the entire match. I am going to be so interested in seeing what the WWE does now with the Hardys. Are they going to be Team Extreme? They're going to be Matt and Jeff, because they called them Matt and Jeff quite a bit last night. Are they going to let them do the delete and obsolete? Because there's lawsuits with Impact about what they can do. I did notice that the crowd was doing the delete, delete, delete. And every once in a while you hear, and you're not going to stop the crowd from doing that. But I liked the character of the broken Matt Hardy when they were doing that. And he still got that skunk hairstyle.
Oh, yeah.
But he looks so... Are his legs okay?
You'd have...
I mean,
what's going on with Hardy's
looks
legs?
So stiff. But then he does these crazy things, you know? And Jeff is just Jeff. I mean, he's a great performer. I just never have been a big, big fan of that tag team. But what they did, WrestleMania, I will give them an A+.
Jeff Hardy lands the Swanton Bomb, which leads to Matt Hardy climbing up the top of the ladder to grab the titles to the crowd's delight. Ladies and gentlemen, your tag team champions are the Hardy Boys. Are you kidding me? Now what do you do? If first of all, like you said, if you're the WWE, what do you do with the Hardy Boys?
I have been very critical of the broken Matt Hardy. Not because of what they do in the ring, but some of the production values that we talked about with what they did with some of the stuff was just so amateurish. But their ring work is, you cannot deny the ring work that the Hardys and their chemistry.
41 years old and jumping off ladders. And I mean, Jeff on the top of that ladder, Jeff's 41 years old,
it was awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I just thought that was probably the best match of the night. I thought it was a great story, the surprise, the Hardys coming in, and the surprise with the Hardys winning. It was great.
You think Matt will have to get in a little better shape to be in the WWE, or you think they'll be on a part-time schedule?
I think he'll do fine. He looks a little stiff. I don't know if he's had leg injuries or what, but he looks a little stiff when he's walking to the ring, like he doesn't want to bend his legs, you know. But once he's in the ring, I think he's fine. And he is a storyteller, just like, you know, with that interview we had. If you haven't heard the interview yet with MK Bandit, it's also going to be part of a different podcast on our Turnbuckle Trash. You need to listen to that. Because that is background stories and also WrestleMania stories and wrestling stories and how he tells incredible interviews. So if you're listening to this right now, don't skip the one with the MK Bandit. Awesome stuff.
Wow. What a great guy he is, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a great conversation with him, and it's right down Turnbuckle Trash.
And one thing, I gotta throw this out there. One thing that I'm grateful for MK is he takes the time to come on and help us promote Turnbuckle Trash.
Yeah.
You know, because let's remember when we tried to get a hold of ROH and they snubbed us. You know, yes. Guys like MK could do the same thing, but he wants to see the little guys grow.
And, you know, me trying to get in touch with the WWE to do interviews, and I go through all their hoops, and when I'm trying to get it set up, they say, oh, we don't let them do interviews at Comic-Cons. You know, instead of, you know, they put me through the ringer. And you get people like Marty the Moth, people at UCW Zero, you get MK Bandit. These guys, they live, breathe, and want to talk wrestling. So it was great. It was
fantastic. It was a good talk to him.
And then the rumor is,
oh boy,
internet rumors coming about.
Oh boy, rumor
that,
city.
That Titan Sports is in negotiations with Sinclair Broadcasting bring some of ROH programming, maybe not buying the entire promotion, but bringing ROH programming to the network, WWE Network.
No kidding.
That is internet chatter, and if that has any worth or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Three matches were non-title related. This one was a tag team between real-life couples. Dave's rolling his eyes, and you know what? Actually, so am I. This match...
boring.
Yeah, this match, I felt the build-up was not great. I didn't think the match was that stellar, especially since Maurice, who had not seen the ring since 2011, jumped in. And really, she slapped Cena and then took a flurry of just punches from Nikki Bella.
Now, the build-up, though. You didn't like the build-up.
I didn't think it was great.
The build-up from the time when they first started doing this between The Miz and Cena, I thought was some of the best work The Miz has ever done with the mic on SmackDown.
And he's always been a great work on the mic, too.
This was really, really good. The match itself, disappointing.
Wow. Well, the match was there was nothing to really, to ooh and ah at, except for the fact that Bella did land a suicide drop off the rope to Miz on the outside of the ring. Other than that, it was a casual ending, really. To be honest with you, five knuckle shuffle, the double and sealed it, dealed it, and win it. Yeah. Speaking of sealing. How about we put a ring on the finger? John Cena, after the match, don't roll your eyes. You thought it was cute. John Cena proposes to Nikki Bella, who said no. Okay, just kidding. She said yes. Relax. Jeez.
Let me tell you what I did. I was taking notes last night. As soon as the match began, I wrote on my notepad, Cena will propose to Nikki Bella at the end of the match. And it did. But the match itself was controlled by Cena and The Miz. I mean, they were doing the biggest majority of the work there. So,
John Cena, and I guess Mr. and Mrs. Cena, soon to be, are now 1-0 in pay-per-view matches together. 1-0, batting 1,000.
C-.
I'm going to go with C. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the build. Like I said, I wasn't a fan of the match. I thought it was pretty dead. I think the crowd was just kind of like, cool. Oh, you proposed. All right. Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest reaction. Is that the proposal? That was it.
I'm gonna change it to a D.
Oh, wow. Now that's harsh.
With Nikki Bella, maybe double Ds. No, I mean,
all that storytelling and all those great promos and all that stuff for that.
Yeah.
That was
Cena and Miz.
That was stupid.
Moving on to the next match again. This was another non-title related match, but there was a lot on the line in regards of egos. Seth Rollins, Triple H. It was a 25-minute match, and Seth Rollins not only had to fend off that beautiful witch, Stephanie McMahon, but he also
looked so good last night.
Both guys fended off pedigree finishing moves. Both guys fended off submission moves.
And Seth Rollins' ring gear looked like he had fish scales on the side.
Dude, I don't get it. What is he, the Little Mermaid?
He was trying to go. No, he was trying to go for the Aquaman look. I think.
I didn't like. Yeah, he looks like the freaking Little Mermaid to me. Aqua, no. I mean, I thought he was gonna sing like "Under the Sea," or I'm surprised his song wasn't "Under the Sea."
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh, Juice. But the match itself.
The match itself was good. Stephanie McMahon, of course, was on the top apron, giving Seth some crap. Triple H missed a kick, sending Stephanie McMahon outside onto the mat, or I guess onto the floor, I should say.
Did she get injured? Has there been anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about an injury yet.
Because
she landed awkwardly, though.
She did land awkwardly, and then they showed a really quick picture of her while they had a EMT there or somebody, a trainer, and I noticed that she was kind of doing something towards her neck. So I hope she wasn't injured.
Me too.
I love Stephanie McMahon because she is so talented on the mic. She plays that rich so well. But I got to tell you, it was a long match. I got so tired of hearing Michael Cole. He went to the bad knee. That's his bad knee. It was his bad knee. Yo, Triple H went right for that bad knee. Triple H, it was his bad. I was saying, okay.
We get it.
He's got a bad knee. I know that's what you're supposed to be selling, but it was so, you know, whew. I was sitting there. I was going, okay, that's enough. It was the bad knee. He's going to break that leg, you know. And I was just going, come on, Michael Cole.
So the match is what the crowd needed, though, because the match before that, Mr. and Mrs. Cena versus The Miz, Maurice, just silenced the crowd, put him to sleep.
Yeah.
So this match was really needed. By the way, the entrances were awesome.
Yeah.
Do you like that? A little Samoa Joe making an appearance,
uh-huh,
which it's about all he did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad. I love the entrances. Love it. I grade it a C.
A C? I'll give it more of a B to a B plus.
Okay.
The match itself. Except for Michael Cole. It went to his bad knee.
You give the announcers an F. The match itself a B.
It was too much. But hey, I'm surprised you gave it that lower grade. I really am.
Just didn't see a lot in it. I felt like it was too predictable too.
Okay, that's gonna wrap up the first part of our look at WrestleMania. Go down the page a little bit. There'll be some more audio available. In that, we'll talk about the World Championship match and other things at WrestleMania. And we'll also have our Trash Head Talkback segment with Kelly and Chris. Also, remember, there is a longer interview, almost an hour long. It might have to be in two parts with the MK Bandit. He works with the independent scene, although he has worked with some of the biggest names in the industry. And we talk a little bit about WrestleMania because he was there in Orlando, Florida. He was at WrestleCon. We get some back behind-the-scenes stuff that you won't get anyplace else. But right here on Turnbuckle Trash, get ready for part 2 coming up next.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.